back when the Hospital Planning Association said that the hospital had to merge with a similar hospital, did that association suggest Homestead, or how?
Yes, I suggested Homestead, because Homestead was in the same light as we were. I mean, they were going to only have 1 year. They had not always had theirs. We never lost our accreditation. They had lost a couple of times. I mean, they had gotten a 1 year approval. The approval is usually 2 years. And they again had got, this time they were told that they had to, see, their one building was old too. And, but neither one of us wanted to do what we had to do. I mean, St. Joseph's was 75 years old. And people are still talking about St. Joseph's Hospital. I mean, we have so many patients at Jefferson who are St. Joseph Hospital patients. And, you know, they'll always speak about it. And, but Homestead has put up worse fights. They are still fighting about it, you know, that we took their hospital and so forth and so on. But that's changing too. And when we first went out, there was, you know, St. Joseph's and Homesteadness, and, you know, that we did this time. Well, we did this, and, you know, it was a rough period of adjustment. But that's practically gone now. Another thing I wanted to say was that when we did consolidate, and I think this is much something to be said for the whole consolidation, we did not ask any employee, we did not lose any employees. Unless they chose to not go as assistant. They weren't always able to retain the same position, but they were given a position in the system. And a lot of, I mean, that was quite a lot of work to make them all, you know, to try to be fair and square with every one of them. So that the only ones who didn't go with the system were people who, by nature of their age, wanted to retire. And we did have a pension plan. Or people who, yes.
Excuse me.
Sure. Fair and just to our employees. And a lot of them have said so. Another thing that might have been of some interest, the hospital authority, Allegheny Hospital Authority, we had to borrow, funds from them. The hospital cost, I think, $39 million. And, of course, we didn't have $39 million. But they floated bonds, and our bond issue was very successful. Of course, we still have a big debt, but, I mean, it's making progress. And the whole concept, though, of hospital administration is changing today. And we've already, our laundry has already been independent of the hospital. This is such a complicated thing. I never get to know all the details with you. I mean, it stems out of the way government, especially Medicare and Medicaid, are working with hospitals, and they aren't giving adequate funds at all. And another thing they're trying to do is to dip into any possible reserve you have and say, use that first. Well, if you use that first, you have nothing to draw on.
Yeah.
So that what we're trying to do, what they're contemplating doing, is setting up individual nonprofit units that will be connected with the hospital in a way, but not in a way that our revenues will be jeopardized. And it's right now at a stage where it's just, like this. It's just developing at this point. But we needed a new laundry. Our laundry was over at Homestead, and it was very dilapidated, and the equipment was deteriorating and so forth. So what we did was rent another building entirely and set it up as non-profit laundry. And we not only do the laundry for Jefferson, but we have contracted with other hospitals to do their laundry too. And It has its own board and so forth and so on. But this is a very new thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So we also had a medical office building built by a private concern on the Jefferson property, but we have since bought that because, well, we had the first chance to buy, and another person had come in and said they were going to buy it, wanted to buy it. So rather than lose that building on our property, we bought it because we can use it for any number of things. In fact, Jefferson, at this point, believe it or not, is at a point where we could add to it. It's surprising. It's just, I mean, because you know how large it is, and it's still we are crowded sometimes. And then there are so many new scientific, you know, because is this still on?
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah. I don't know what else I could tell you about.
Sister, did you have hopes or, you know, was the field right for using the nurse's home? You know, I know it hasn't been used yet.
Well, not too many people agree with me, but I think that it would have been put to great use for the community. I really think the community should have bought it. But right now, it's deteriorated. To a point where repairs would be, would take up quite an amount of money. You see, there are so many advantages to that nurse's home. Every room has its own private sink. I mean, there are central bathrooms. But with all the people going here, there, and everywhere, and not renting houses for sisters, you know, it seems to me that it could have been used at that point. It has its independent boiler system. It has communications to each room, you know. And it's so centrally located to downtown in Oakland. Mm-hmm. And I just felt, and the rooms were so nice. And I just felt that, and it had big rooms where, you know, where meetings could be held. And then the large room in the basement, which is off the kitchen, which could have been used for a cafeteria. Mm-hmm. Seems to me that there were many, many things in its favor, and then the price. I mean, it's true that it's, we paid $1.5 million to build it. And it's being sold now for something like $673,000. That, of course, a lot of repairs would have to be done because it has deteriorated. You know, since we consolidated
now,
it's been negotiated.
Oh. The reason I'm
so far it hasn't been taken.
Yeah, I'm asking those questions. Remember Mary Louise Hiller,
mm-hmm.
who was one of your instructors,
yeah.
And she had been a pupil of mine in high school at St. Raphael's.
Mm-hmm.
And just this past Christmas, she wrote to me, had somebody write because she's blind.
No.
She insists that she thinks we own it, the Sisters of St. Joseph. Why don't we get in touch with Kane Hospital? Let Kane Hospital have it, or, you know, negotiate somewhere there.
No, I don't think it would fit into Kane
Hospital.
No,
but see, I never could answer her.
No.
Sister Mariana said, we'll go out sometime and talk to her. She lives right there.
No.
No,
Kane Hospital would never take it. I mean, Kane Hospital needs a hospital facility.
Yeah.
No, it would make a terrific office building or something. Because, I mean, it's already set up for that kind of thing. It could be, I often think of, you know, a boarding house for women, you know, that work in the city and so forth. I've often thought that it could even be taken for retired priests, you know. It could be taken for all these high rises. I mean, it has every potential there. I mean, you don't have a toilet in the room. But if you, and of course they don't always pay too much, you know, but they're going up all over the place. And if we had the money, and the cupboards there are so constructed that if you would start at the top of the building, there are two cupboards facing each other, big cupboards, If you would take just the top floor and go straight down, you could put in a bathroom. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It would be safe for money. Another thing, one of the men, several people came through the building while I was still St. Joseph's to look at the building and for the perks of buying it, you know. And they said that it's a very well-constructed building, and it's of such a nature that if you were to scoop it out, you could put anything on it. You know, I mean, if you, because the posts that hold it up are so arranged that nothing would interfere, but you could just, like, you know, wipe it out and then whatever you wanted to do, you know, you could do. But people don't agree with me on that. I mean, they think that it would cost too much to renovate it now. And the city at once contemplated taking it over for laboratories. See those four big rooms on the second floor there with huge classrooms. One was a laboratory. I mean, they could easily be made into, into meeting rooms or into laboratories or, you know, all kinds of things could be put in there. We had a big print shop in one of them. A really good print shop. It's gone now. Of course, they have printing down at Homestead. See, the old buildings at Homestead are used for offices, and they have one building. They've tried to sell it, but one building hasn't been sold. It's better of the two. They don't use the old one. And there are a lot of the offices are over there, and they have the people of Homestead were so vocal about losing their hospital and having that there is an emergency room over there, and an X-ray and a laboratory, small ones, but they're there. And as I said, a lot of the offices too are there. You know, a lot of our business offices are over there. But I don't know. I could be completely wrong, but I think it had great potential. Especially when it's a self-sufficient building. You know, I mean, as if we did have a lot of trouble with the roof, and I think. Of course, the price has come down, you know, it's down from what it was in the beginning, but it still wasn't behind the beginning. But that's just my opinion. Some people say, no, no, it would take too much to fix it up now. But I think the location and everything is so good. I mean, particularly for people going to school, they don't want to live together, many people don't want to live together, so we had some mighty happy times in between. And we had plenty of people living there. We had, you know, a really, really great time. And the chapel was beautiful. And it's all apart now, of course. Everything's apart, yes. But the building, the hospital proper, was bought by a concern that builds units for the low-income families. And it is very, very fine.
It's at Crossgates.
Crossgates Point, yes, and it's they extended it, you know, but they did maintain the facade, you know, the part that they didn't extend. And if you go past it, you'll see over the door at the very top of the St. Joseph's Hospital, it's still there, and you'll see that Mercy Charity and so forth, you know, little figures that were in the front of it, they're still there. And I'm glad for this that if it had to go for anything, that it went for something of that nature. But they say it's very nice inside. I've never been in it since. And they extended it over into the parking lot. And I don't know how many families, or how many units, I don't think it's all families, I think they're individuals, you know, living in the sun. They're different sizes of apartments. And there's always a waiting list for it. But, I guess, heaven will know all the answers.
What were some of your fears going into the merger?
Well, some of the fears were you know, that we may have problems with the moral code. Another was that, you know, the, where would the sisters, how would they maintain a position, you know, in the hospital? There was some opposition. The director in charge of the hospital was very, very difficult to work with, and he didn't have too much love for us. I mean, I remember fighting through many meetings, and I mean fighting, being very vocal about things that he did and said. But he didn't last too long anyway. I remember one day at a meeting, I said something, and he said, "Well, there's snow on the top, but there's still a lot of fire within." And I was so furious. And I said to him, "Sir, I get the connotation." I was just so angry. He was very hard on Sister Percentia at the meetings, very hard on her. And we had this feeling, you know, that, we fear anything new and different. We stood our ground, and it's ended really quite well. Thank God. Trouble is that, you know, we don't have too many sisters there, and the fear we have, you know, is that as we leave one by one, through death or what have you, we're just going to, it's going to go beta, that's all. But as I said, I always feel encouraged with the fact that I think we've made a stamp on it, no matter what. It's a stamp of our work there. But see, we just have about 8 or 10 sisters in the whole, in our project. But we're there, we're active, you know, they see us and they respect us, they really do. The doctors really are very kind, very respectful. He didn't know whether they were going to accept her or not either, you know. Mm-hmm. And we had to interview every one of them before we went into it, you know, and see whether they were going to be there or they were going to come with us. And, you know, it was a big project. But we have a hospital, and we have a good administrative staff, we have an excellent board of directors, and everybody, and you'll meet people who are happy with it. But there'll be individuals that criticize everything, and there are few, thank God. We've been able to stand our ground against some rather formidable opponents, you know what I mean? Among certain individuals.
Isn't that true, Sister, too, that the board of directors gave our community, all the sisters, sufficient money to buy houses?
Yeah.
Where they could house the sisters out.
Yes, that was part of the negotiations that they would, not in exchange for, but since we had to leave St. Joseph's where we had lived, that they would supply money for, well, we needed the number of sisters were going into the hospital at that time, we needed them 3 houses, and they provided the money for those 3 houses, but they really belonged to the Sisters of St. Joseph, but they were really given to us for housing the sisters who were going to work at the hospital. And they are well, we and are ours. But you have to be a little careful about it. They are being housed, they're housing a lot of people now that are not hospital people. And that's perfectly all right because they are community property. But I think they should remain in their present status for some time, because we're not out of the point, out of younger, only 5 years, Jefferson.
Yes.
His sister's only 5 years old. And I think you have to tread carefully for a few years yet. Because, as I said to you, the St. Denis Hospital, Homestead Hospital, that is gradually dying out, but it's not dead. Some actions could rekindle some embers, you know, and so I think we have to be careful, and we have to, tread me softly for a little while, you know, because there are people still existing among the board of directors, principally a couple from Homestead, who are not 100% Consolidation or St. Joseph's, and they're very vocal, and it takes some doing to just keep them, keep Myers at least smoothed off, or, you know. And then some of the ones on St. Joseph's board of directors who have been really our champions are getting older. And, you know, going to have to retire sooner or later. And that will weaken our position too, you know. But I'd say for the most part, we have a good board of directors, and they do respect sisters, highly respected. All of the sisters are, even this little lady who just does volunteer work. I mean, they're very respectful. Mm-hmm. And,
is it true, too, that you were not able to take that money and, say, build a one house to house those sisters who were working in the hospital because of the housing code not there, that you couldn't have more than was five or six or what under one roof, because it becomes
each borough has its own, you know, housing laws. For instance, when our sisters tried to get into the South Park community out there, community had a meeting. You know how they'll have these, what do you call these, hearings or so on.
Yeah.
And they were quite vocal against taking the sisters into that community. And although we had some people there who were very much interested in us and pulled everything they could do to get us in, they said that they didn't want, their code is that it can't be or shouldn't be in any one house people that are not related. What they're really afraid of, and they have a point, they're afraid of the, well, I don't want you to call them that,
Hare Krishna?
Well, yes, or the, it used to be the hippies, and these cults getting into the area. That's what they're afraid of. And of course, if they open the door to us, who are not really blood relations, these people would have a case and say, well, we're not blood relations either, and why are you keeping us? You let them in. But the set been out, Whitehall, is very, very open, I mean, to us. They were very, very kind and took us in. And, I mean, we had no problem at all. Anvil had no problem at all. Provost had no problem at all. Because we're in what's so-called Whitehall. And they had no, we had some neighborhood problems. This one woman next door to us was a little bit belligerent, you know, about our coming there. And another thing, they don't want a lot of cars congregating around that much, you know. They were really against these cults. They were afraid that a cult or so on would move in and the neighborhood would deteriorate by noise or what have you, you know. So, I don't know if we can. I know the time is not now to do that justice on the green and get one. You know, even though our number of sisters is dwindling, I mean, we haven't that many sisters in the hospital now. I don't think we could ever, you know, now take the three and sell them and get one. It would be a pretty big house to get. And there aren't the kind of houses you always have to build one. But eventually, I mean, if we don't get more sisters, certainly we'll, you know, probably come down to that.
What were some of the changes in community life that came about from moving from?
Well, we had come from very large communities. We had 40 sisters at St. Joseph's, and we also rented our fourth floor to the sisters from the Institute of Man. And so there was almost another 40. I mean, others had just came there to live too for our community, but not too many. And we had a very large community. They joined in with us, not on everything, but we had our own community. We had a very, very wonderful community life, really. It was very beautiful. And not perfect, this isn't heaven, but it was good, you know. And of course, everything there in an institution like that, your meals are prepared in the cafeteria, we recreated together. We had a large recreation room and two nice porches we could climb onto if we wanted to. We had a beautiful chapel. And fortunately, we always had, not always, but most always had very fine coordinators who helped, you know, the community spirit. I think it was a very good community spirit. As I said, this is in heaven. There's never, as always, you're going to meet characters that, you know, just aren't 100% congenial, but as Sister Josephisa said to me one day when she was up here visiting, she said, you know, there was one thing about St. Joseph, she said, no matter what differences we might have throughout the day, when we came to the table or went to recreation, that was completely forgotten. And that was true. Nobody held a, you know, a grudge, that sort of thing, you know. And you might speak your piece to somebody, but, you know, so that they, everybody felt free. And that was just not a common experience, but it happens. We're all human. But that was true there. And then we moved into these smaller groups. And we have a very nice home, nice house. But I don't favor small community at all.
You don't?
No. I do. I think it's, well, to me, I think we lose the sense of community. Even if we have, you know, five or six congenial people together, I think you feel isolated. And even though you do come or come to the community meetings, on. They help, of course, but I don't like small missions. I don't like small missions at all. And I don't think that they're always properly set up. I think that they should be age groups. I don't think they should be all old ladies. I think there should be young and old, or middle-aged and old, older. I think you need youth. I know I need youth. Whether they need me or not, I need them. And so I'm not too happy about small groups. Although, as I said, we have a very lovely home. Mm-hmm. We get everything we need, you know, properly so. And the most part congenial as you are, large or small groups, you have your moments. But I still, I don't like them. I think they're divisive.
You mean divisive among
any community,
a small group, or?
In community-wise. I really, that's my opinion. Probably, 99% of the community wouldn't agree with me. That's my opinion. I can, you know, just as I said, I have a very nice, very good pond and all. But you, right down here, now, for instance, just those few weeks that I've been here, you feel community. And I don't think it's just, it's not just individuals, it's group. And it's young and old. You know, I've met so many lovely young people. And it's some in all groups. I don't know. This is my opinion. For what it's worth.
In the course of your community life, what are some of the changes you've seen?
Well, I've seen them going from the, you know, the large houses to the smaller houses. And I've certainly seen a change in the scope of our work, which was largely schools, in nursing, and some social work, CCD and so forth. I mean, now it's just everything, and I don't say that I disagree with that. I do agree with it. In fact, I have they laugh at me at home. I have a black stem of a fear like this, and it goes out on wires, and it's all different colored balls, you know. And I always say it's unity through diversity. To me, it represents the community. I think this is God's promise that he really wants us to do that our diverse works. I feel sorry about our not maintaining the same role in education as we have, because I think that's where you really where you really can form the minds of children. And I think that we don't have to just go to the poor. I think that, and I have maintained this, we need to educate the people who are going to make the laws of our land and are going to hold the positions, high positions of administration. We need to educate those sources, and therefore we need in all kinds of parishes. And I think education is a very important facet of our work. I think our hospital ministry is very important and great too, and I think we've done a lot of good work through it. But I feel that education is, you know, much more, I think we can do much more good through it.
You think in grade school and high school education?
Yes. And other changes have been, of course, in our dress and in our prayer life. I think our prayer life is much more significant than it was. I think we should pray together on occasion, but I think at least once a day it can be managed. But I think our praying in the vernacular is very meaningful, because I remember going through the office in Latin for years on end, and I'm sure even with 4 years of Latin I wasn't too sure what was going on. I don't think that it's any loss. I think that it's all there ahead of us in heaven. But I think that the present day office is more meaningful. I'm not too sure that we haven't watered it down a little too much. But I think that if it's properly done, I think we're still in a transitional period there. Because we have a lot of elderly sisters, as well as the younger. And I mean, we should try to reconcile the two points of view some way or other. The habit change, I love the habit. I love it very much. And however, I think that God's providence is in our change of habit. Because I sometimes think that this is going to be survival for us. Because it may not happen tomorrow, but I think it's certainly going to happen in some years. Maybe not in our lifetime, but there's going to be possibly our not being in the habit is going to be the survival of the community. I think what the province is in a lot of what we've done and what we have to do. I think we have a good community, and I think there's life there, so we can see that new members coming into our community, and some other communities are not getting anybody at all. Well, the other changes that are very important is the idea that change in formation. I think I went through what they call the period of formalism.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was so rigid. And the idea in the superior's mind was to pour us into a mold of the model of religious, and that was sometimes done in a rather, kind of a way, but I am sure they felt they were right, but the means they took was rather painful. And I think I learned through it, because I feel that it taught me not to do to other people what they did to me on occasion. So I think you learn from all of these experiences. But I think that age of formalism, under which we entered, the older sisters, such was wrong. I don't feel that any of that was lost. I mean, I think that it's all in heaven and before us. But I do think that, you know, that the change from formalism to what we have now is since Vatican II. Allows for a different type of a growth and expansion that will benefit mankind. I don't see eye to eye with a lot of things that are going on. I think it's hard to preserve community when one person lives alone. Well, she may be able to do that, but I think it's difficult. There are certain people who can do those things, and they're all different. This is an aside, and it was just on the tape. My sister-in-law laughed at me when I had this. I went home one summer and I saw this little thing, you know, with all the balls and things. And I said, that reminds me of our community, community through diversity. And I said, I can really make a meditation on it. And she just looked at me and she said, well, you should be able to do that with Statue of St. Joseph with a blessing on it. She says, no, it's a bunch of balls. And she says, I don't know about you. So anyhow, we looked everywhere to find one for me, and we couldn't find one. I was visiting home at the time. So here, this was my niece's. Here, when I came back from my vacation, here it was in the top of my suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have it today.
I'm sorry.
All right, dear.
No, it's good, because there were a number of things you said there that were not clear in my mind, despite the fact that I had tried to, you know, get them cleared up. I was familiar, you know, for years
sure.
with hospital workings and pay and
mm-hmm.
so on. And you were really clear on things.
I mean, to go to bed.
Good.
The hospital.
Oh, good.
Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people certainly don't understand.
Oh, in the hospital right now, I know out throughout our direction, they are just, they think it's the greatest thing.
Oh, you mean they think the hospital?
Jefferson.
Oh,
yes.
Well, they get good care. They get good concerned care.
That's not too far. See,
well, see, we've tried any number of plans to get transportation, better transportation. We've gotten buses. I mean, we've rented buses. We've done everything. But the people that ride in them, you get them and you don't have enough passengers
mm-hmm.
to pay for the thing. But now there's a bus that goes from every afternoon, comes from, it's not our bus, but it's a bus service that comes from the mall there, the central mall, which you can
yes.
reach by bus and what have you, to the hospital. It comes up every day at 11 something, it goes back
mm-hmm.
at 2:30.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
it's one way. People do say it's too far out. It isn't too far
yeah.
out, because that area is going to grow up like every other area.
Yeah.
And then there'll be ample bus transportation for everybody. And so many people in cars nowadays.
From my home, we can go to Jefferson in 12, 13, 14 minutes, depending on traffic in Clarendon.
That's right.
Just down here.
Right there and there. And it is very good. And it also has, I mean, we're you know, another reason that I was talking about this present trend, which is a very difficult one to know what to do about, is the setting up these private corporations, you know, as parts of it, but not parts of the system, for survival, really. Mm-hmm. And also because of competition in hospital costs. See, if a patient comes into or the South Hills Health System, when they calculate our costs, into those costs you have to put everything. I mean, your light, your maintenance, and your everything from all of the parts of the system, mm-hmm. so that it makes the cost go pretty high, you know. So what, and then you have to charge pretty exorbitant rates. Mm-hmm. And people right now are, everybody's fighting hospital costs, you know. They don't understand what goes into a hospital cost, and they will have to tell them. I know when I go home, this is a perennial contest at home, you know, my sister and brother, or sister-in-law and brother, you know, that they can understand why they took it. And you can't explain it to them because their minds are set that it's high, that's it. So what they can do, see, if they put in these various units, for instance, if we were to take our outpatient department and separate it from Jefferson, but within close proximity, but separate it, see, the only, our costs would be so reduced in that because into what we have to do now is to put all the costs in the hospital too. But if we could just separate and have an outpatient clinic, you know, where all of our doctors would work in an outpatient clinic, the chart costs would go down because they didn't have all these overhead costs, and then we could lower our rates in that unit. See. And competition is getting very stiff. People are doing this very thing, you know, all around us. Oh, there's so many angles, you know. Fortunately, we're very fortunate in having a man like Mr. Yackel in charge. I mean, he is very, very, very far-seeing. He's very knowledgeable. He belongs to all of these national societies, holds offices on him. And he knows exactly what's going on. And he's not afraid to try. And he's not afraid to, and, you know, he has the board back of him and the medical staff behind him. Which is, you know, really good. And, but you have to be so alert for survival these days. And not, we don't know how far we'll go with this kind of thing, you know. What we'll separate out to do it. Ultimately, Jefferson Center might just remain as an active hospital with acute ill, you know. Of course, we have a mental unit in there, too, which is very good. Now, we were also approved for a maternity unit when we opened, and we put a lot of money into a maternity unit. And, of course, this was one of the things that we sort of feared was, mm-hmm. you know, what's going to happen if we do have a maternity unit? Are we going to have a fight certain doctors, you know, or are they going to try to circumvent the code and what have you? Well, the approval was withdrawn.
By whom?
The hospital planning. So that we never really got to, even though we contested it, we never managed to open that department. So that has helped us to a certain extent.
Oh, don't you have my gosh?
We don't have maternity. Mm-hmm. We have,
ladies' diseases.
Yeah, ladies' diseases. We do all that. Oh. But I mean, that often they can't make the time for all these years. It'll come to me. Mm-hmm. But we do that sort of thing, but we go to a maternity program. We do have a very excellent mental health care unit. And that's, you know, good too. It's always well, you know, it does a lot of good work. We also have a big alcoholic We don't have our an alcoholic unit. The doctor doesn't believe in separating them from the other patients, so they're spread all over the hospital. Yes, dear? But we do a lot of good work. And we have very, very good employees. And we have an excellent administrative staff. And, really, and they're not all up in years either. They're going to be with us for a while. Unless they get too great an offer somewhere else. I don't think they will. They seem to have a great world.
I don't have more specific questions, but do you have something you'd like to say in conclusion? Any comments on either your years at the hospital or the community?
Well, I only want to say that I've been in the community 52 years, and had a very rewarding life, and I have no qualms for having chosen to be a sister's agent. It has not always been easy, but whose life is? And I always like to think of that poem of Robert Frost's, two roads stretched out in the woods, and I took the road less traveled by. And that has made a lot of difference.
Well, thank you for going
to have the sheriff sitting on the door step someday.
We are?
Right.
You don't feel that, do you?
You mean it's everything?
I mean, no, the community.
No.
You don't feel we're going down the drain.
No.
We're not turning into a secular institute that will put us all back in our Papa's house.
No.